Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is the very first time that you've tuned in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp. God does have great plans for you, for many are the plans of man, but it is truly is the purpose of God that prevails. And we are here today to talk about the power of God's movement in the earth today through the seven mountains of influence. If you go to any nation, any community, there are seven mind-molding mountains of influence that affects the lives of the people that are in that environment. Rather, it's a nation, whether it's a community, whether it's a community of professionals. There are seven areas that really do affect people, and we've talked about these seven mountains. We've talked about the God mountain, where we are empowered to be what we were born in this earth to be. We talk about the family mountain, the mountain of influence, the mind-molding influence in our society, that unit that literally helps us to establish what our identity is. And then after that, we have the educational mountain, because once we've discovered who we are, we do need the skills to execute the reality of our purpose and how we've been shaped for destiny. And today I have on the show with me a very anointed and committed, mature believer in Jesus Christ, Dr. Kevin Borknight, who is the founder of Knight Educational Systems. And I'm blessed to have him here to talk about his passion for education. And it's been said by many, many times that Dr. Borknight, even though he's an educational administrator and a successful attorney, he is one that believes that God is the finisher of his faith. And I want to welcome you, Dr. Borknight, to the Voice of Destiny Show and ask you, how do you take that principle of God being the author and the finisher of your faith and translate it into the work that you're doing today for the kingdom of God?
Well, God gave us an opportunity to establish His kingdom here on earth, and a lot of that is based on the educational component. Education started, public school started with the intent on teaching each and every person to read the Bible. And so it has developed into a program where we're allowed to impact the lives of children and people by enabling them to, for one, read the Bible, which is the roadmap to life, and education, which is our roadmap that allows us to be successful and to carry out God's purpose for our life here on earth.
Wow. You know, when we were growing up, us young people in the 70s, the 60s and the 70s, we were taught the value of an education, and we understood that it was a gateway out of a circumstances, economic and social circumstances that we were not happy with. And people do not understand the power of education and how it affects the spirit of the mind. Ephesians, the second chapter, talks about being renewed in the spirit of our mind, because whatever that spirit is that's in the mind, it's translated in the way that we relate to God and the way we relate to our community and the way we relate to our family. God has given you a passion for educating young people. You know, you are an attorney by first trade, and then what drove you to the classroom? What was it that God did to drive you to the classroom? The classroom to make a difference in the lives of people.
Well, I always thought that I wanted to be an attorney because I wanted to help people, and I subsequently ended up attending law school at Texas Southern University in Houston, Texas. And in Texas, individuals who receive a year or more of incarceration are required to have what is called an appeal of their case. And basically what happens is that an attorney comes in, looks over the trial transcript, and tries to find the reversible ground of error that he can acquire that individual a new trial. And so a lot of times it's just a paper practice. But this afforded us an opportunity to sometimes go to the prisons and talk to young people who were good people who made bad decisions. And the more that I talked to these young people in prison and had an opportunity to go over their cases and stuff, I found that a lot of these young kids were really good kids who had just didn't have the direction, didn't have a mentor, someone to guide and direct them. And a lot of them would share with me. They would say, Doc, if you'd have just caught me a little earlier in my life, I probably wouldn't be here today. And
wow.
So I subsequently, I had played football with some young men from Texas, and one of the guys that I played football with, his high school coach was having triple bypass surgery. And so he asked me to cover for him while he was having his surgery. And I went into the education field, and I was just so excited about what I saw there in the possibility. So I decided to go back to school and get my administration and supervision certification in education. And while doing that, I was offered a position as an assistant principal in the 14 independent school district.
Wow.
So that was my transition from law into the educational field, as succinctly as I can put it.
Was there a point where you realized that this wasn't just an occupation for you to pay your bills, but it was a real ministry for you, something that you were not just doing for yourself, but you were doing it for God to advance His purpose? What happened? What happened in your life to cause the turn to come?
And it really did. When I was in undergraduate school, I was double majoring in political science and elementary education. And when it came time for me to do the student teaching on the elementary education book, I was so turned off with education, I said that I would never deal with education or teach, but never say never to God. And God just ordered my steps and directed me right back into education. And when my parents found out that I was transitioning from the law field to education, they thought I was crazy. But after they saw that I really enjoyed it and that how I really had a passion for it, they said, yes, this is your purpose. This was what you were placed on this earth to do, to educate and to help children.
Wow. Well, let's take a destiny break right here, and let's come back and let's talk about one of the projects that you're doing to facilitate learning to your community, your cotillion projects that you've been working on that's been empowering young people to discover what God's called them to be, do, and have. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and bold by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth we'll learn how not to die in poverty.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopped, and my guest today is Dr. Kevin Borknight, a school administrator by trade and attorney, but he has an incredible ministry of education that's been changing the lives of young people in the Denver metropolitan area. We are here talking about the power of education and its influence, and one of the things that God's been using you to do, Dr. Borknight, is to change the lives of young people through the vehicle of cotillions. Can you tell us what a cotillion and a botillion is, and how do you believe God wants to use it and is using it to change the life of young people?
A lot of times our young people are placed in situations, they're evaluated on circumstances where they really have no knowledge or no training on. So the cotillion, botillion was usually a southern event where young people were taken, they were mentored, and they were schooled in the fine arts of dancing, etiquette, communication, and speech. And then after that mentoring process, they were presented to society as individuals who could excel and promote themselves in those particular areas. And so we a group of dedicated individuals back in June of 2010 met to merge efforts to develop a program that would allow our young people. We saw a lot of young people who were not having the opportunity to avail themselves to certain opportunities because they didn't have the social graces to compete in certain areas. And a lot of times people are evaluated on certain things, like your boss might invite you out to dinner to see if you have the social graces to, you know, eat at a formal dinner and represent the corporation well. And so we decided that our young people needed an opportunity or a program where they could learn these skills, where they could practice them, where they could be experientially involved in these type of things and become proficient at them, and in that way present themselves in their most favorable light. So that is where the Botillion Cotillion for Colorado, our program, that's where it came from, providing our young people with opportunities to learn to waltz, to learn to eat at a four-course meal and which fork, which knife to use, which one with a butter knife, which one with a dinner knife. And so we attempt to take young people and provide them with these skills so they can use them for their benefit in their employment and in every aspect of their life.
Well, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. And it's important that we do teach our kids biblical values through these social situations, because it's a part of their training. They need to know how to socially relate to other people, because God's in the business. God is in the people business, and we know that God observes cultural practices as long as they don't violate God's word. Tell me how these cotillions and botillions are creating opportunities for young people to develop their faith in the Lord.
Well, we are a faith-based organization, and we know who we are and whose we are. And so we make sure that our children know, because as we send them off to college and to the military and other opportunities that they take – that they avail themselves to later on in life, we want to make sure that they are well-equipped and that they have the skills. And the most important tool that they'll have is their relationship with God, because sometimes that's all that you have. And we know that they're going to face trials and tribulations, but that if they call upon God and they have that prayer life and that communication and relationship with God, that he will carry them through. And so we want to make sure that we have instilled in them that knowledge and those skills to be good and faithful stewards of what God has called them to do, especially in trying to develop their purpose here on earth.
Wow. Well, every one of us are going to face a day where we have to give an account to God for what we did with the gifts, the callings, and the assignment is on our lives. This is a very important reason why the fivefold ministry exists, to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. And a very important part of the work is to bring redemptive change to communities that we are in. A lot of times we have churches and ministries around, and they are relative to people inside of church, but they have no value to people outside of church. And that's where the big business is for the kingdom of God. Most of the people that God wants us to reach, they are outside the commonwealth of the church. And for someone like yourself, your education, your background, your professionalism, to take the time and invest your resources into making this happen for young people, it will make the difference for so many of them. It will give many of them a pathway to find themselves to God through Jesus Christ, through the work that you're doing. So I really, really appreciate what you're doing. I want to take a destiny break right here, and I want us to come back and let people know how, if they were interested in, if they're in the Denver metropolitan area, to be involved with your project. But also to talk about, what do we need to do for families today? What is it the church needs to do to help families to realize the fullness of their potential? Because our calling and our purposes has to do with the redemptive realities of our generation and our society. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. Our guest today is Dr. Kevin Borknight, educational administrator and attorney that's carrying out a practice of bringing forth transformation to communities through his special educational and alternative educational programs. And we've been talking about a project of Botillion and Cotillions in the community. And you had said earlier that it was a Southern practice. It was something that Southerners did to introduce their young people to societies as young adults, and you guys are using it as a great vehicle to teach young people important social skills that they'll need to fulfill their occupation and to build up their confidence. And we think this is very important. So please let those that are listening know that may be in the territories where you're reaching out, how they can get in contact with you, what's your website, and how can the young people be a part. And what can we do that are not of the age to participate? What can we do to help the programs that you're doing be more of a success?
Well, they live in the tri-state. They're in Colorado right now, in every area of Colorado. It is a multicultural program, and we involve both young men and young ladies. And our website that they can go to is www.colovotillion, that's VEAUTILLION, colovotillion.net. And
okay.
If they need to contact us, they can either reach us by phone at 720-217-8291 or 832-651-5130. And we're on Facebook and on the World Wide Web. So we invite you to visit our website and see some of the outstanding things that the young people are doing in our program.
Wow. Well, this is very important that we give our young people opportunities to exercise their dominion and their creativity in a safe, nurturing environment where they can be equipped to be what God's called them to be. So let's talk about the family. You know, the family is having really a lot of challenges today. And working with young people like you are today, what are the most important things you think families need to set as goals to cause the young people in their families to grow up healthy, whole, and effective for what God's made them for?
Well, we believe in the scripture as folded in Malachi, where God would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and then the children back to their fathers. And we use that as in reference to the family, because we incorporate and we involve the family in all aspects of our mentoring and instruction to our children. The parents are invited. And a lot of times we found that this is the only time that a family has gotten together, when we have our monthly meetings as a family unit. And the family basically goes through it. It's a rite of passage. The fathers present their sons to society, and the mothers and the fathers present their daughters to society. And it's a very touching program, because the fact that they have watched their children grow, and now they are recognizing and saying to their child that you have all the requisites to be a man now, and because you are my son or my daughter, I am so proud of you. And so we know the importance of the family unit, and that's why I believe that Satan attacks the family in the many aspects that he does. But we try to mitigate or resolve those concerns, and we try to present our program as a family program. And in all cases, young people do not have that strong family component. So we as an organization, we as a community, attempt to provide that support and that need for those particular students who don't have the strong or any family supported in that way.
Wow. Well, you know, God, the Bible says that God chose Abraham because he knew Abraham would train up his children in the way that they should go. So when we understand the importance of this unit, this wineskin of family unto God's plans, I think a lot of us will become more invested and making this happen for young people. What is it about manhood that fathers need to know that are presenting their sons? Not just in your botillion, but in society. You know, as a father, what is it that I need to be aware of, that I need to equip my son to make him a responsible influence and citizen in the community, so that they can make a difference? Because I think a lot of times as fathers, we don't have a script. I know I tell the story that my mother and father was married for 28 years, and my father came from a generation where the fathers didn't say much to their young sons. They paid the bills, and they were there in the home, protected to be a protector, but beyond that, they didn't know what to do. But today, we understand that young men, we need to be intentional in communicating truth to them. Proverbs 22:6 helps us to understand the importance of us getting a full spectrum of this. The amplified version of Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Recognizing what our young men's gifts and bents are really important. So what should we as fathers be prepared? You know, give us a script of the words that we need to be saying to our sons to help them to walk out the dynamic of their callings.
A lot of times our young men, especially our young men, are taught big boys don't cry, and the role mm-hmm. models that they have are not the type of role models that they need. And we need to be good role models that we are loving, that we can hug and that we can kiss and that we can appropriately touch our young men, and that we can show affection to them. You know, some of the kids say that, you know, my father has never hugged me, my father has never said a kind word to me because he wants me to be a true man. But a true man, just as Christ loved the church and his disciples, we as men have to show affection and love to our children. And the same goes for our young ladies. And we share the story that a daughter should, first dance should be with her father. And that's one of the components of the cotillion, is that our young ladies dance with their fathers and our sons dance with their mothers. And there has to be that relationship. There has to be that bonding and connecting and that love shown. And a lot of times our parents, both mothers and fathers, don't know how to raise children, don't know how to provide the affection and nurturing that they need. But we try to do the parenting skills. And as a man, I know that there are young men out there who want to do the right thing. They just don't or have not been shown what things that a man should do, that a man should pull out a young lady's chair, that instead of honking for her, that he should go to the door and pick her up and bring her back to the car. And we hold our children accountable for things that we haven't taught them. So we want to make sure that we remove any stigmas or any problems that they might have with being the men that God has called them to be. So we want to make sure that they have all the attributes, the training, and the skills necessary to be the men, because I have daughters and I have sons, and we want them to be the type of people that other men and other women would be proud to have their daughters or sons escorted by or a husband or a spouse for. And so those are the necessary things. And a lot of times we fail to allow our children, we hold them to be responsible for things that we have not taught them. So we want to make sure that they know what the expectation is and to make sure that they have the skills to carry them out.
Now, tell me, what do you do when, in today's culture, where there's sometimes not a mother in the home and sometimes there's not a father in the home? And I know that young men are more visually instructed and inspired, and girls tend to be more verbally or orally inspired and instructed. What do you guys do to make up for that? Because I'm thinking, if my two girls that are going to go through your cotillion this year, I'm only one person, so when it's time for the dads to dance, which one do I pick? So what do you guys are doing to solve that problem?
What we try to do is have the appropriate role models for all of our children, both the young men and the young ladies. We bring in, like, the First Lady of Denver. We bring in the police chief, and they share important information with all of our kids to make sure that they have the requisite knowledge and skills to be successful in all of their endeavors, both social, educational, and as political entities in a successful society.
So it's not just this event. You have a series of classes that go on for weeks to prepare them for this event, to be confirmed and inaugurated in their calling as adults.
Yes, they meet once a month, the first Sunday of each month, and we have a specific mentoring, whether it's finance, whether it's faith-based, whether it's legal, you and the law, or other aspects of the that we feel are necessary requisites for them to be successful in life.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. I certainly want to remind the body of Christ that we do have a calling as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to show forth the praises of God. There's much that we need to do inside the house of God, but there's so much work also to be outside, to do outside the house of God, outside the temple, because we are called to change the world. And that is not just the church world, but the world that is around us, that God has given us mandates. It's very important that people like yourself, people that are called in commission to do the kingdom exploits that they're mandated to, that they would actually answer the call of God to fulfill this work of being the salt in our communities. Thank you, Dr. Borknife, for coming and sharing your great story and what you're doing. Thank you for the changes that you're bringing to the lives of the people. And I want to remind my brothers and sisters that the Voice of Destiny show is available to you 24/7 on Voice of Destiny Online. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. And also today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. God bless you. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.